Beloved Book One. Once, Kyozan's master asked him, "The Nirvana Sutra has about 40 chapters of the Buddha's teaching. How many of these are devil teachings?" "All of them," replied Kyozan. The master commented, "From now on, nobody will be able to do what he likes with you." Then Kyozan asked, "From now on, what should be my mode of life?" His master responded, "I admire your just eye. I am not concerned about the practical side of the matter." Once, Kyozan was asked by a monk, "Can you explain the explanation of the law body?" "I can't," said Kyozan, "but there is one who can." The monk then said, "Where is the one who can explain it?" By way of response, Kyozan pulled forward the pillow. Kyozan's master, on hearing of this interchange, said, "Kyozan is using the blade of the sword."
Manisa, Zen is both a religion and a revolution against religion. This makes people confused. But the thing is not confusing. The so-called religions have become fossilized. They no more breathe, they no more sing, they no more dance. They have become an organized, hidden politics. Against all these things, Zen is a revolution. And by this revolution, Zen thinks religion can be purified, raised to the highest stars of its possibilities. Hence the strangeness of Zen. It is a religion, but not like another. Even the Buddhists do not accept Zen as authentic Buddhism. The moment an experience becomes an explanation, a philosophy, a theology, it loses life. It may catch many people under its fold, but these will be the people who want religion at a very lower, cheap price. Religion needs you to risk all. Nothing less will do. Hence, the organized religions, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Mohammedanism, Jainism, Buddhism, they are not only giving you a false idea of religiousness, they are also preventing you from searching the right one. When you think that you have the right one already in your hands, there is no need to search for it. I agree with Karl Marx on this point when he says the religions are the opium of the people. They have consoled for centuries. They have not done any creative work for consciousness. Neither they have enriched the earth and its beauty and its productivity. On the contrary, they have taught people to renounce the world. And this is the only world we know. Somebody of the caliber of Gautam Buddha was absolutely needed in his time to declare a constant war against those who have a negative attitude towards life. They only count the thorns in a rose bush. And among so many thorns, naturally they forget the beautiful roses. Looked positively, affirmatively, looked with love, they should count first the flowers. They should become engulfed with the perfume of the flowers. And then those thorns will appear into a totally different context. Those thorns will appear as bodyguards, as protective armor around the rose. That is their function. It is the same life juice that becomes the rose and that becomes the thorn. At their source, they are coming from the same roots. They cannot be enemies. But all the religions were afraid of one thing. That religion may not become a changing, moving, alive river. The fear was that if the religion remains a flowing river, who knows, people may change tomorrow. Mahavira closes the door for anything else to be added. He is the 24th Tirthankara. That is the last number. Now nothing can be added to Jainism. It is a very tricky game. Muhammad is the last prophet. Why this insistence of being last? Why not be first? But being last means you are closing the doors. Now the Holy Quran will remain forever and forever. The directions and the guidance to the followers. It does not take note of the changing circumstances. It does not take note of the changing consciousness of man. His changing and deepening insight into reality. Christians are waiting for Christ. These are the tricks. One day Christ will come, and He had promised them soon. The soon seemed to be very long. He cannot come again. He can come only in those same circumstances that existed in Judea in 2000 years before. Now, declaring oneself the only begotten Son of God, any child will laugh. Two small children were sitting on the steps of their house, the small one asked, "I always wonder why these Christian bishops and cardinals are called father. They don't have any children." But the question, although it has come from a small child, and what always is being done to children's question is, just wait, in your time, in your maturity, you will know it. Even Jesus never asked that if you are the only begotten Son of God, is God so miserly? And at that time, I don't think there were available any birth control methods. Why he stopped on one? The same problem. In different angles, he has to stop on Jesus. Because somebody may later on declare that I am another Son of God. Or what is the problem? Neither Jesus has any proofs, so evidence cannot be asked. Any idiot and idiots are abundant. You try to seek one and you will find 1,000. It happened in Baghdad, the capital of Mohammedanism. That a man was brought to Khalif Umar . He was claiming that he is the latest messenger from God. Muhammad is perfectly right, but things have changed, and a new dispensation from the direct source is needed. Muhammad cannot be bypassed in this way. Umar said, "Listen, you will be beaten for 7 days, no food, no water, and then I will come to see you in the jail." I hope by that time you must have changed your mind. The man laughed. He said, exactly, these were the last instructions to me by God, that people will not believe you. Even a man of the insight of Umar will first test you, so I am available. He was taken to the prison naked, tied to a pole and beaten, no food, no water, no sleep. It was real torture. After 7 days, when Umar came, he asked the man whose whole body was oozing blood, but his eyes were glittering, shining. Umar asked him, "Have you changed your mind?" He said, "I was thinking to change, but these 7 days proved to me that I am the Prophet. That's what God has said to me, that you will be tortured, you will be harassed, you may be killed, you have fulfilled and made me more certain." I was a little hesitant and it felt a little embarrassing to call oneself a messenger of God. Exactly that time, from another pole, a man was tied. He had come 1 month before, and he has not come any Quran, any message from God. He declared that because all prophets have failed, Muhammad included, I finally decided to come myself. Now this is too much for fanatic, fascist, fundamentalist. That man shouted from his pole, "Umar, don't be deceived by this man. After Muhammad, I have not appointed any messenger." All these religions are grabbing by the neck everybody, freedom means disobedience, to decide your own life means going against the organized religion, morality, ethos. Zen has specialities of its own. Perhaps it is the only religion which can be called religiousness. Religion becomes solid and centered. And then there is the hierarchy, the Pope, the Cardinal, the Bishop, the Priest. Zen has no fixed teaching, because every fixed teaching will become out of date tomorrow. Tomorrow new flowers will come on the bushes. Tomorrow new leaves will sprout. Tomorrow new waters will be flowing from the Himalayas. Tomorrow nothing will be there that you used to know. Every new dawn brings a totally new world around you. If it does not look new, it is because you continue to hang with old eyes. Zen is rebellious in all possible points. It fulfills my heart with great gratitude for these lines. At least few people have declined the offer, the invitation to become slaves. At least few people have roared and declared their freedom from any bondage. And these are the only real people. Unfortunately, they are not many. But even those few people prove one thing certainly, that you also are carrying the same consciousness, dormant. You have not dared to go inside yourself to find out the diamond which will give you the whole universe as yours. This anecdote and Zen is not very serious about things. It could have been very scholarly, it could have been very philosophic. Like Bertrand Russell, who wrote a book on mathematics, and he took 250 pages to argue about that 2 + 2 are really 4. Zen is just like wild flowers. It grows anywhere. It does not need much effort. All that it needs, a deepening in your consciousness so that you can see the world around you more clearly. Now your vision of the world is very shadowy, very dark, and your world looks very small. As you go deeper inwards, you will be surprised that the world goes on becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and a point comes, you know, there is no end, no boundary line of existence. Being born in this infinite existence brings a tremendous bliss and a great ecstasy and a sense of eternity and Zen has found the right way by small anecdotes which even a child can understand. But it is possible that even an old man may not understand. The older a man becomes, he becomes so knowledgeable. He knows everything. The child is open and clean. The function of meditation, and that is the meaning of Zen, is to bring your childhood back to you. And from there on, look at the beauty, the godliness, the truth that has been always there, but you never looked at it. Once Kyozan's master asked him, the Nirvana Sutra has about 40 chapters of the Buddha's teaching. How many of these are devil teachings? A strange question only can be asked in the Zen atmosphere. You cannot ask in a Christian monastery that how many teachings in the Bible are devil teachings. Thus, idea simply looks awkward, but in Zen you can ask anything because nothing matters. It is not a serious philosophical system. Asking such a question, the Nirvana Sutra is one of the most respected sutra in the Buddhist world, and it contains almost everything that is essential that Buddha has said . It is called Nirvana Sutra because it concludes on the point where you disappear. Its whole process is how to help you to disappear. First you become silent, and as silent goes deeper, you start feeling that you are not the body, that you are not the mind. You are living in the body, but you are not it. You are using the mind, but you are not it. As the silence goes to serenity, you suddenly become aware that I am only a witness. Witness of the whole world and witness of my body and mind too. Just a pure witness, a cool breeze, a fragrant breeze. The word Nirvana means blowing off the candle. Buddha chose really a beautiful word for the ultimate. When you disappear into the ultimate ocean, the dewdrop disappears. Or you can say, in other words, the dewdrop becomes the ocean. Or you can even say the ocean disappears in the dewdrop. But something disappears, just like as if you have blown away a candle flame, and there is absolute silence and darkness. Kyozan asked, the Nirvana Sutra has about 40 chapters of the Buddha's teaching. How many of these are devil teachings? In no other religion such a question can be asked. But the answer is even greater. All of them, replied Kyozan. Kyozan was not expecting that much. Buddha's words and Isan is saying all of them are devil's words. And it is perfectly in line with Buddha's approach to life. It is not through books. It is not through words. So, Isan will go on teaching Nirvana Sutra and at the same time will remind his disciples, don't cling to any sutra, Nirvana or Diamond Sutra, don't cling. These are simply footsteps leading to your ultimate disappearance. If you start thinking that these words of Gautam Buddha's, you may start loving them. You may become attached to them. Attachment is very easy when you love a book and Nirvana Sutra is so full of splendor, so much of beauty. Each word implies so much that it seems impossible for a man to make words dance. One is bound to fall in love. And of course, the Nirvana Sutra will not say no to you. It is just a dead book, papers and ink and nothing else. The master said to Kyozan, all of them. It simply means all words are only echoes of far away truths. Don't cling to the echo. Otherwise, who is going to discover the truth? Avoid the echoes. What are all the Buddhas? Just echoing the ultimate truth. Just echoing the eternity of your being. Experience what they say, but don't cling to the explanations. There are so much difficulty. First, the man who has come to realize his ultimate consciousness is in a difficulty how to convey it. There are not words which are capable to convey it. And whatever he says, immediately he looks and finds it is not the same as it was in the experience. Explanation has fallen far away. It has betrayed. And then the explanation is caught by the disciples. Then another tragedy. Because the disciple is going to comment according to his conditionings. That will change again the meaning and if the disciple also starts teaching to people, then the truth has been left far behind, not even a single ray reaches that far. Hundreds of mystics have remained silent just for this reason. So when Isan says all of them, he is not telling only about Nirvana Sutra. He is telling about all words. Words are incapable of containing the truth. Some other way has to be found. That some other way becomes the meditation. Mind has to be put aside. So he does not start interpreting. And one has to go deep from where your life is arising, as if a rose is going deeper into the roots from where the juice of life is arising, manifesting in great foliage, in flowers. Once you know your original source, you know also your ultimate destiny. The master commented, from now on, nobody will be able to do what he likes with you. Obviously, if all words are useless, and all words are from the devil, then there is no more possibility of any communication, any dialogue. One of the most famous Jewish philosopher Martin Buber has worked his whole life on a single theme, dialogue. I wrote him a letter. I was too young. That in your dialogue, the two remain, and a dialogue is not worthwhile, which does not culminate into one. Two bodies may be there, but one consciousness. I was informed that he is dead. I said, it is fortunate for him. If he was alive, I would have tortured him. Now he can rest, toss and turn into his grave. But the man remained his whole life concerned with only one thing. That there should arise a dialogue between religions, between politics, between ideologies, between man to man. His effort was right, his direction was right, but he did not come to the point when it becomes nirvana. Two must ultimately become one, because ultimately we are one. Meditation is not a dialogue. Meditation is to get out of the mind and slowly enter into the oceanic reality. Then Kozan asked, from now on, what should be made my mode of life? What should I do now? If you say even the words of Gautama Buddha are that of the devil, what about me? I was teaching people of course you cannot teach without words his master responded I admire your just eye. I am not concerned about the practical side of the matter. No man of strength, integrity, individuality, is ever concerned about the practical side of the thing. If your consciousness is right, it will manage somehow your practical side. a harmonious consciousness with existence is under care of existence. You have said to existence, now it is up to you. If you want me to breathe, I will breathe. If you don't want me to breathe, I won't. Up to now, I have been a separate being. Now I dissolve my separateness. That's what Isan means, that I admire your just eye. You have understood what I have said, but I am not concerned about the practical side of the matter. Why he is not concerned about the practical side of the matter? Nobody needs to be concerned. In your enlightened being, you have become one with the universe. You are no more. Existence takes care of trees and birds and animals. Why existence should not take care of you? In fact, you are existence's greatest flower. And when you become enlightened, you have attained your destiny. Now everything is care of existence. You need not be worried about it. Once Kaozan was asked by a monk, can you explain the explanation of the la body? I can't, said Kaozan, but there is one who can. The monk then said, where is the one who can explain it? By way of response, Kaozan pulled forward the pillow. Kaozan's master, on hearing of this interchange, said Kaozan is using the blade of the sword. What has conspired the question that was asked is relevant because Buddha says, you have many bodies, but the ultimate body that is immortal, he calls it the body of La. La gives a different connotation to the world. He calls it the body of Dhamma. The body of nature. You have gathered many bodies around it, they will all fall down. only the body that has been moving through eternity to eternity, he calls it your authentic body. And the man who has asked Kaozan has not asked a non-essential point. Can you explain the explanation of the la body? I can't, said Kaozan. These points show the humbleness . These points show the simplicity. If he cannot explain, he will not try some arbitrary explanation. He will simply accept that I cannot, but there is one who can. The monk then said, where is the one who can explain it? By way of response, Kaozan pulled forward the pillow. In any reference, in any context, it will look absurd. The man is asking a question and you give him your pillow. And this is the one that can give you the answer. The pillow represents total rest, total relaxation. Going inward so deep that the outer world is almost like a dream you have seen sometime. When the outer world starts looking illusory, you have come to your center point of being. There is the answer. The answer is in your experience of utter restfulness. Kaozan's master Isan, on hearing of this interchange, said, Kaozan is using the blade of the sword. An ordinary man will not understand anything. Only a man who has the sharpness of intelligence like a sword will be able to understand. A beautiful answer he has given. But you would have been puzzled, you would have looked at the pillow and how the pillow explains your question, what is Buddha's ultimate natural body. It certainly conveys something. Zen is very earthbound, very pragmatic. By showing his pillow to him, he is saying that what cannot be said can be experienced. Just rest, and rest to totality. That's what we are doing here every day. Your meditation is an ultimate rest. But Isan commented that Kayozan is using the blade of the sword. Because the person may not understand it, most probably will not understand it, and will think that this Zen is all nonsense. Or may think actually that the pillow is the answer. So keep a pillow continuously with you, and you have found the body of the Buddha. Now what the person does with such an exchange can be dangerous. But masters look deep into disciples and say only things or indicate only things which they are capable of. No master is unkind to give a child a sword. Basu wrote, "Dew drops, how better wash away world's dust." The experience of truth is just washing away the dust that goes on gathering on your mirror-like consciousness. Basu says, "Dew drops, how better wash away world's dust." The dew drops may be small, but they can cleanse your inner eye, your mirror, which has gathered so much dust, and that dust has to be cleared. Only then you can see the depth in things, the life in things. A world full of love, a world full of blessings, a world which could be a dancing place. By stupid politicians has been turned into a battlefield. More people become Buddhas, they are already Buddhas. More people remember their being Buddhas, this world will have a totally different aroma, a totally different fragrance, a totally different ecstasy. Right now, what we have done, we have made the world a tragedy. Each step we go on moving more in tragedy. And at the end of the tunnel is the death. Manisha has asked a question. Beloved Bhagwan, it seems to me that formal religions have used the sense of the mysterious negativity negatively to delude and baffle people. On the other hand, unless science has a sense of the mysterious, it seems that it will always be destructive. Is this so? Manisha, your question are two questions. The first is perfectly right. All the religions have made the world ugly. They have made the world unlivable. Their whole teaching has been to renounce. Certainly, a man who renounces the world will not create a painting or a poetry or a sculpture. He will become uncreative. And where this whole uncreative energy is going to go? Energy is neutral. If you don't move your energy in creative ways, it is going to be a calamity to you and to the world. But because all the religions have condemned the world, worldly relations, they have made the world poor, they have them reason an investment in the world being poor, they have cut the world into fragments. 70% of energy of man goes into war. war seems to be the only god. And man is just a sacrifice, either in the name of nationality or in the name of religion, whatever the name may be, man has to be slaughtered. It is true that coming down from a hilltop is easy. Destructiveness is coming down from your humanity. Becoming animals again. Hence it is easy. And you can find any excuse will do. But your second part of the question, on the other hand, unless science has a sense of the mysterious, it seems that it will always be destructive. No, Manisha. Science is coming every day closer and closer to the mysterious. The science is no more 300 years old, but it has evolved in 300 years and gone far away from the destructive and negative mind of the religions. As I said to you, energy is neutral. Science creates energy, discovers energy, but it falls into the hands of the politicians. And the politicians use it for negative purposes. Their only goal is war. And science itself has become so complicated that you have to depend on any government or on any corporation, because so much money is needed. You cannot be a scientist just by yourself. Those days are gone when Galileo could be scientist just using instruments which were ordinarily easily available. He need not have trillions of dollars. Now the situation is different. The Wright brothers could manage to make the first aeroplane by the discarded parts of bicycles. But now, you cannot create an aeroplane so easily. But one thing is certain, that if a World Academy of Sciences which is not committed to any government, to any ideology, can be created, and in my opinion, that must be the whole and sole reason for existence of organizations like UNO. Create a world academy, every nation contributes it, but the energy is in the hands of a world organization, and the world organization has the power to use it in any way it deems fit. Science is not destructive in itself. Destruction has come from politics, and because politics has the money, Albert Einstein's last dying words, because he must have suffered deeply, he was a man of great conscience, and he could see that he has given a dangerous weapon in the hands of the politicians. He discovered atomic energy, and just in a hurry, he was employed by Germany first, but because he was a Jew, he has to escape from Germany. But he knew that even without him, all the basic facts are in the hands. It may take a year or two, Germany will make the atomic energy. Before Germany makes it, somebody should be able to create it, otherwise the world will go in the hands of fascists. But he was naive. He wrote a letter to Roosevelt, and Roosevelt was very happy and gave him all facilities to create atomic energy, which can destroy millions of people within seconds. Einstein has never thought that it will be used, just its presence will be enough for Germany and Japan to surrender. Germany surrendered and Japan was going to surrender within a week at the most. Without Germany, Japan could not stand alone against the whole world. It is a small land, but full of great people. And Roosevelt was gone by that time. Truman was the president, and his generals also insisted to him that don't use such a destructive force which will remain for generations affecting people, not only people, trees, fish, animals, and there is no way to create any preventive cure, and there is no need in the first place. Germany is coming down every moment. Our forces have entered Berlin. You may not believe Adolf Hitler was hiding underneath his building in a bunker, and he was given a radio because he never liked the idea that we are being defeated. So his own people created a small station and will give him news that we are progressing, that we are winning. Such a deception has never happened. The enemy's forces were entering into Berlin, and the radio was proclaiming that we have reached London, and poor Adolf Hitler was kept unto the last moment when bombs started falling on Berlin. He could not believe that I can hear from hiding in this bunker the falling buildings of London. He called his general and asked, what is the matter? He said, I'm sorry, just not to make you tense. This was a special arrangement for you to give you good news, always good news. He was kept in darkness for almost 1 year. And the American generals persuaded true man not to be in a hurry. Within 7 days, with ordinary weapons, Japan is going to go down. But true man was also in a hurry, because if Japan goes down and surrenders, then there is no chance to experiment atomic bombs. He did not listen to his generals and ordered to kill two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. More than 200,000 people. And the radiation is still killing. Is still effective and will remain effective, one knows how long. Because many women were not in the area where people were dying. But the radiation started reaching with the winds, with the water, with the rivers, in the fruits, in the vegetables. There was no way to say that you are eating your own death. Science can give immense energy for creative purposes, Manisha. And the great scientists alive today are all coming closer to the mysterious. A day can be hoped where science and religion can merge into each other. Religion becomes the inner science, and science becomes the outer religion. And their meeting point is that both are facing the miraculous. Now, Sardar Gurdayal Singh's time. Sometimes I think that I should begin with Sardar Gurdayal Singh's time, but that will distract. The serious attentiveness. So I keep him for the last. And it is respectful also. S- Sally and Joan are chit-chatting over tea. Joan says, "When I married George, I was looking for sex and good humor. And I have found them both with him." "Ah, really?" Sally asks. "Yes," says Joan. "Every time we have sex, it is a joke." The black dude in a full-length mink coat walks into the Rolls-Royce showroom. He goes over to the most expensive model and proceeds to kick the tires and fenders. The usually state salesman runs over and explains, "Excuse me, sir, but were you thinking of buying a Rolls-Royce?" The black dude looks at him with a scowl and replies, "I is not thinking of buying a Rolls-Royce. I is gonna buy a Rolls-Royce. I is thinking of pussy." Jesus is hanging from the cross. Mary, his mother, sits a short distance away. Suddenly, Jesus begins to cry uncontrollably. Seeing this, Mary has a pained look on her face. "I'm sorry to upset you, Mom." Jesus says, "I just could not help but think what a hell of a way to spend Easter." be silent. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness and with an urgency as if it is going to be the last moment of your life. Deeper and deeper reach to the center of your being. At this moment, you are the Buddha. Unscratched by thousands of lives. The deeper you can go, the more splendor, the more miraculous it becomes. The Buddha auditorium has changed into a silent lake without any ripples. A little more. Because Buddha is your eternity and Buddha is your infinity, you can go deep, but you can never find the bottom. That's why it gives you ultimate freedom. To make it more clear-cut, Nivedano, relax, just witness the body, you are not it. Witness the mind, you are not it. You are only the witnessing consciousness. Thousands of lotuses have blossomed. Evening was beautiful enough on its own. But you have poured your witnessing, your consciousness, and made it a majesty, a miracle. such blissfulness, such benediction, such ecstasy. Collect as many flowers and as many juices from your center, because you have to bring them to the circumference. You have to remember in your day-to-day life, whatever you are doing, you are the Buddha. That small remembrance will become ultimately a transformation of being. Nivedan, come back, but come back as a Buddha, silent, graceful. At ease. Just for a few moments, sit remembering where you have been, to what miracle you have reached, and the golden path that you have been traveling every day, back and forth, will become shorter and shorter, because your Buddha has to come from the hidden to your ordinary life, meditation is the only way to know yourself and to know the very meaning of life. It cannot be said but it can be transferred. When you are in deep meditation here, utterly receptive, it is so easy to enter into your hearts. It is so easy to become a sangha, so easy to become a subtle music. You will feel it for a few moments later on also, like a drunkard. You have been drinking from the divine. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Celebrate you, Bhagwan. Love can shine through you, Bhagwan. We celebrate you, Bhagwan. Everything that we do, we celebrate you.
Silence of our